you're part of this church for any length of time, you will see we often talk about this. This will appear on the screen. We often talk about life. You know, what's your life like? How is life at the moment? We had an amazing time last week on Pentecost Sunday. People being baptized in the tank underneath that table. As Tom said, there's a big tank, and we put people in and bring them out, and it's full immersion baptism. That was extraordinary. But we like to be real at this church on how life is. And at the moment, life for many is so busy and so hectic and can get quite stressful. We were looking last week how we can have God's peace in our life in the middle of the busyness. That was an amazing reaction for many people receiving God's peace. But, you know, at the moment, whether it's Brexit, still around, isn't it? You know, still there. Or Boris. Was that a sigh I heard from you there, Tom? Yeah, you got your blue shirt on, mate? Just like me, eh? We're recruiting. And so whether it's Boris or whether it's Brexit or... Actually, as I thought this morning, I thought these are all bees. But there's some good things around, like the Blades, who are going to be playing Bournemouth. It's all bees, isn't it? On the 10th of August, we start our Premiership campaign, which will eventually lead to being champions of Europe. In due course, I may be, have left this mortal planet by the time of that, but I'm convinced about that. And but actually, there's another bee that's been on my mind, because I read a report just recently on we all want our life to be better and healthier about the food we eat. And bananas are still the best thing you can eat. Bananas, hands up if you eat bananas. Bananas are good for you. And I read this. I thought I'd read it to you. I thought it was amazing. It's real help on the food that we eat. And if you want a life that's healthy, it says this. It's about a healthy lifestyle. The Japanese eat very little fat and suffer fewer heart attacks than the British or Americans. This is a survey. On the other hand, the French eat a lot of fat and also suffer fewer heart attacks than the British or Americans. The Japanese, some here, drink very little red wine and suffer fewer heart attacks than the British or Americans. The Italians, however, drink excessive amounts of red wine and also suffer fewer heart attacks than the British or Americans. So the conclusion is clear, and it's this. You can eat and drink what you like. It's obviously speaking English that kills you. There you go. I like that. As I'm drinking a glass of red wine as I kind of read that survey, so there we go. So, today, life, this other phrase in my mind, which will come on the screen, if you lived life God's way, and today on Nathaniel's baptism, that's what Matt and Ellie, they have decided to live life God's way, along with Nathaniel and with Abigail and lots of others here, have decided to live life God's way. And the thought for the day is this. What would happen if we lived life God's way? So here's a thought from the Bible. And the Bible, for those who like the Bible passage, it's from a bit of the Bible called the letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 5. Just two verses I'm going to read to you, and I'll just read them here. You can read them on the screen. And actually, this man who wrote this letter is trying to explain to these people. So if you're not au fait with the Bible, it's kind of that thick. The first bit, which is quite thick, is called the Old Testament. That's the story of God kind of right from the beginning of creation all the way through. And then there's a pause, and there seems to be a gap, and then what happens is, Jesus comes, and there's the stories about Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then there's the stories when Jesus leaves, he dies on a cross, he comes back to life, and then he leaves his Holy Spirit with us, the Spirit of Heaven, of God with us. And then it's the story of the church and how the church grew. And this man called St. Paul wrote letters to little churches that started in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. And from those churches have come this church and the church in the West. And so he was writing to them, trying to explain to them, when the challenges come, what you do with your life, if you're going to live life God's way, this is how you do it. And there are amazing, amazing stories in that part of the Bible. And this is what he says to this little church, these group of churches in this place called Galatia. He says this, if you live life God's way, He brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. And so when we start to live the way God wants us to live, okay, all those years ago, I'm sat over there thinking, oh, I don't know if this God thing. And the paradox is, 20-odd years later, I'm leading this church that I couldn't wait to get out of because I thought they're all crazy. Now I'm crazy. My career in industry, just it was good, but it wasn't what God wanted for me, obviously. But as we start to live God's way, he brings something into our lives, gifts, the Bible says, much the same way that fruit appears in the orchard. And we all know that fruit is good for you, bananas. A banana didn't fit on the screen very well, so I put an apple there because it didn't fit on the screen very well. And so today, a little thought on when we live God's way, something happens on the inside of us. Next week, Bryony will be speaking on something happens on the outside. Living God's way affects what we do on the outside, but just going to focus a little bit in these next minutes on what happens on the inside. So if you're here this morning and you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, he's got something to say to us. If you're here for the first time in church, or church has not been your thing, or you've just dropped in this morning, I really hope you enjoy the experience of church, different though it is, but actually more than that, you enjoy what God's saying to you this morning, this God who is real and has a purpose for all our lives. It's not just, I believe, live your life, you're dead, put you in a hole in the ground, that's the end of it. That cannot be all life is about. What a waste. What about all that's inside of you, the love that's there, all the... There has to be, and I know there is, it continues into what the Bible says, an eternal life. And as we heard from Nigel, their son dying, but one day they will see him again. That's the Christian hope, that death is not the end. It's not the end. We will see these we love again if we trust in Jesus. So what happens on, what does this fruit look like? Well, this man goes on to explain, this man Paul. He says this. What happens is, when we live God's way, he gives affection for others. This is from the Message Bible. That means love. Love comes into our life. And this word love, it's not like the word love we use in the world. The word love in the Bible actually means preferring others before yourself. Putting other people before you, which is generally not how the world operates. But that's what you get. Exuberance about life. That's the word joy. You know joy? It's kind of when you really do clap and bruise your hands because you're so full of joy, you know? It's like when, I'll not say this too often, but it's, did I mention about the Blades got promoted and were, but when Sheffield was, when they had the open top bus and people filled the streets, there was joy, there was an exuberance around. There were a few beers around as well, but yeah, that's fine, don't worry about that. There's an exuberance around. When Liverpool came back after winning in Europe, was it 1 million people on the streets? That's a lot of people. There was a sense of joy. Something was happening there. And that's what he's trying to express here. Joy about life. Serenity, and that's the word peace. And we looked last week, this serenity from God, the word means wholeness. All the bits which get stretched in the busyness and chaos of life and the stress and the angst. It says if God brings them together and says, it's all going to be well with you. So when we receive the life of God in us, this is what starts to happen. What else does he say? He says this. We develop a willingness to stick with things, it says here. A willingness to stick with things. And that's the word patience. Hands up if you don't feel you're very patient. Very honest people. Put your hands up if you think you are an amazingly patient person. There we go. Very deluded people. So, hands up those in the middle. Yeah, we all have times, don't we? I know some people are very patient. Thank you for putting your hands up. Some people just have this thing of being patient. Most of us, life squeezes us and patience often disappears. And the word in the Bible here means, the word patience, a willingness to stick with things, it's a kind of, it's like, we, you know, you talk about a short temper. Well, the Bible one is like a long temper. It means you wait and it holds back and it holds back and you don't lose your temper. It's like God gives you something. It's a fantastic thing. And also, it goes a sense of compassion in the heart, it says here. And that's kindness. Again, hands up if you would like to see more kindness in the world. Yeah, I mean, nobody puts hand up there. I mean, you really do have some issues if you don't put your hand up on that one. We all want to see more kindness in the world. And actually, the word there means meeting real needs of real people. Come back to that one in a short while. He goes on to say this. Also, if you live God's way, you get a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. And that's the word goodness. A genuine goodness should permeate everything we do and should be in people. This, you know, we all long for a more of a goodness in the world, don't we? Against this badness that often seems to be around. Well, God gives this this goodness, which is wonderful. He goes on to say this, nearly finished, and we find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, and that's the word faithfulness. To be faithful means to be loyal and committed to a person or to a cause or whatever it is. And again, we live in a society, in a culture where commitment is sometimes seemingly non-existent. You know, tried that relationship, didn't work, go on to the next one. Tried that one, that didn't work, go on to the next one. We move around relationships like we move around cars. And actually, once the Spirit of God comes on us and we get God's life in us, it generates as he's put here, I'm committed to you. And do you know why? Because God is committed to you. And God's in my life, so I'm committed to you. I think it's a wonderful thing that not needing to force our way in life. And that is a wonderful phrase. And that means basically gentleness. Gentleness is not forcing your way. And the best description of that is soft strength. Can you imagine that? Trying to picture a soft strength. Whereas, again, the world says we need a hard strength. We get on. Never mind gentleness. We need to be tough in business, tough in the world, tough in negotiations. Just like, you know, the people around who are tough negotiators. The leader of the free world is a tough negotiator, isn't he? Eh? As well as many other things. Let's move on. Tough negotiator. But actually, the Bible says we need this soft strength. And you may have met people, I've met them over the years, who seemingly have a gentle, soft spirit, but inside have a strength about them. That's what God gives. That's what God gives. And finally, we're able to direct our energies wisely. And that's, the Bible calls that self-control. It's a mastering of that which is within you. So, this is like the fruit God gives us in our lives as we start to follow him. And slowly bits of that come into our life. And you will have seen it, and I've seen it in lots of people here, as you've invited God into your life. This fruit starts to change you from the inside, these attributes, these characteristics, all the stuff on here, holiness, commitment, gentleness. All this stuff starts to grow in us, and it certainly grew in my life many, many years ago. I thought to get on in life, I had to be tough, squash the guy next to me in the industry where I worked. Promotion was the key. I'm sorry if you don't get on, but I'm the number one, and that's it. I've got to get on. And actually, deep down inside, I knew it wasn't the right way to live. But it seemed to be the best way to live until God came into my life and I had a different perspective on life. That doesn't mean to say we can't be, you know, do things the right way and be tough at the right time. Now, if we have God living in our life like that, what happens? Well, I want to say three things that start to happen in our life. The first one is this. We challenge the status quo. We challenge the status quo. In other words, we need to, if things are not good, somebody needs to stand up and say so. If at work it's not good, or there's some bullying going on at work, or at school, or there's inappropriate stuff happening in the people you work with or around. When God gets in your life, you have to say, hey, guys, I don't think that's right. I need to stand up. Yeah, but everybody does it. We all take stuff home from work. There's plenty of stuff. It's all in the storerooms. We just take a bit of paper here and a few pens there. And, you know, it's fine. No, it's not. It's not right. We have to stop doing that. You challenge the norm, it seems, the status quo. You may be unpopular, but that's what happens. So we challenge the status quo. The second one is we do things differently, it says here. We do things differently. And again, I think when God comes into your life, one of the first things that happens is there's honesty and integrity in your life. You cannot live as a follower of Jesus unless deep down inside there's honesty and integrity. So I think some of the most courageous people I know are politicians who are Christians, because they live in an environment which is generally not honest and squeezes them into a lack of integrity. But they're still Christian politicians. Now, I'm not saying that people who don't believe in God don't live honest lives of integrity, but it's tough. Because when you follow God's ways, there's a compass inside of you which constantly sets you back on God's track. That's not right, Nick. No, no, you shouldn't say that. No, you've got to stand up against that. And that's what we do as a community. We try and hold each other to account, don't we? And as we bring up our children, as Nathaniel is brought up, and Abigail, when Matt and Ellie have another six, I mean, as their children, was that a word from God to you there? I think it might have. But as we bring up our children, we say that this is the right way to live. And actually, I think we're a great danger in our nation of not instructing our children in our schools and in families on the right way to live, with honesty and with integrity. When people do that, they're like a magnet. People are drawn to them. And so we challenge the status quo. We do things differently. And this is the final one. We live lives of generosity and kindness. Again, if I said, put your hand up, I'm not going to do this, who would like to see more generosity and kindness around them? Every hand would go up, because it's one of the things we want to see, isn't it? Generosity and kindness. I'm just going to put a few things on the screen and talk about one or two others, then we're done on this one. But I'm going to focus a bit on kindness this morning, on kindness, okay? So here's somebody, this picture, you'll know this person. That's who? Mother Teresa, what an amazing lady she was. And she once said this: three things in human life are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. The third is to be kind. Kindness was one of the foundations of her life. She also went on to say this: let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. That's a great thing, isn't it? Here's another one of my heroes. He's looking old in this picture, and that is Tom Finnemore? Billy Graham, sorry. Thank you to see that one, yeah. Billy Graham, who died recently, I thought he was an amazing man. And he once said this: kindness is the future for reaching people. It's a bridge to Christ. There's a verse in the Bible which says this, that the kindness of God leads people to repentance, to turn back to God. In fact, the Message Bible actually says this on that verse: God is kind, but he's not soft. I'll say that again. God is kind, but he's not soft. To be kind is not to be soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand, and he leads us into a radical life change.
Wow.
That's what happened in my life. Led me into a radical life change. Kindness is the future for reaching people. It's a bridge to Christ. And the church, we need to be more kind. We need to stop bashing people over the head with Bibles and kind of like telling them what they have to do, and just show them by our lifestyle of generosity and kindness. This is what's inside of me. It's called the Spirit of God, Jesus, inside of me. Just a couple of people not on the screen here. I was looking at reading this the other day. Lady Gaga, yeah? You know who that is? I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. She said this, "I've been searching for ways to heal myself, and I found that kindness is the best way to live." Right? And I put this one on because I've had this quote in my office. Annie Lennox, who's a Eurythmics fan here? Put your hands up if you're Eurythmics. Yeah. Oh, you are so just not with the music scene, most of you here. Great band. Put your hand up if you were alive and had some kind of sense in the 80s. Why weren't you listening to the Eurythmics? But anyway, there we go. Annie Lennox said this. She's not only a singer-songwriter, she's a political activist and a philanthropist, or fantastic lady, who said this, "Ask yourself, have you been kind today? Make kindness your modus operandi and change your world every day." Kindness. I just love that. And just before I finish, from my own life and Tricia, we went away recently and had a couple of nights away. And in this, we were having some food in this restaurant, and when the bill came, they didn't charge, they left off the price of one glass of wine, you see. They put down the other 26 that we'd drunk, Trish and I, but they'd, sorry, no, it wasn't. But they left a glass of wine off. So when she came back, I said, "Oh, the bill's wrong. You've undercharged us." To which she's went, "Wow." She went away, brought it back again, and said, "That is so generous and kind." This is what she said. "That is so honest and generous and kind of you. If more people live that way," this is what the waitress said, "the world would be a better place." Trisha will know, I think Trisha gets fed up with this. I always talk to people on checkouts. Always. Classic line. Beep. Long day ahead for you then? Got a long day ahead? It's a classic opening line, isn't it? Because most people on checkouts, everybody ignores them. Yeah, finish at 8. 8? Oh my goodness. Oh, it's not bad. I didn't start till 10. Wow, it's still a long time though, yeah. Are you on tomorrow? Yeah, weekend, yeah. Start a conversation, because all they're doing is beep. I mean, you can do that and have a conversation. You could actually do that and still study a PhD, couldn't you? I mean, it's like monotonous until the machine goes, bah. Punch the code in like that. Or if that doesn't work, Gail, could you go down aisle 14? And then everybody in the queue is going, oh, why did I get in this queue? But anyway, that's not me, because I am patient. It's just an opportunity for me to evangelize in the queue. Hi, have you been in queues before like this? Are you depressed at the moment? Let me tell you about Jesus. Oh, sorry about that. Sorry. But we had a great conversation. And what it struck me was that kindness leads people to talk about themselves and also the longing inside for something else in their life. And we can all be kind. And I want to leave this with you, that we think sometimes we can't do these things. It's up to other people, you know, to stand against the wrong, the William Wilberforces against slavery and the Martin Luther Kings against civil rights. But actually, here's the truth on the screen now. Small acts multiplied by millions of people can transform the world. And when the Spirit of God starts to live within you, every day you're looking how to do kind and generous acts. And the Spirit of God works in you. And that kindness leads people to turn to God. I've had so many conversations where people go, why are you doing this? Well, I'm a Christian. I follow God. And he's a kind and generous God. Don't have to say anything else. Bam, thought. That's how you people live. Doesn't take any more. The staff team last Monday went down for, we have sometimes go down to a cafe in Broomhill for a meeting. You know, it's a busy staff. They work very hard. We just have a bit of a treat sometimes. As we were, there were quite a few people in the team ordering, and then a lady came in. I could see the look on her face. Why did I come in? If I'd come in 2 minutes earlier, I would have been before this big queue. And so we just said, what are you having, madam? And so we said, put her tea on our bill and serve the lady first. And she was completely blown away. It was a cup of tea, for goodness sake. I've had so many conversations when I do that and say, can I buy you coffee? Now, I have to do it appropriately, don't you? You know, you buy your coffee, you've been in the queue a long time, or, you know, we're doing something at our church, you're trying to be generous. And the amount of times people have come to me and said, sorry, it's just niggling away. Why have you done that? Because I'm a Christian and God is kind. We need more kindness and generosity in the world, don't you think? So go buy coffee. One guy said, that's just blown me away. I'm going to start to do it. Small acts multiplied by millions of people can transform the world. And our hope and prayer at this church is this, that SDC Sheffield is known as the kindness church. That'll do for this morning. So after this gathering, go and do something kind and generous and see what God does with your life.